Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Clinton Lastly. I'm the director of the Division of Alaska Pioneer Homes. Today is our day for public testimony on regulation package, regulation number 2019-200185. This is regulation package for Alaska Pioneer Homes rates and the level of service change. We will be having public testimony open from today from 1 until 4. Everyone that is signed up by 2:30 today will be able to speak during the public testimony period. If there is individuals on the line at 2:30 or have signed up at 2:30, and if we get to 4 o'clock and we have run out of time, we will continue going until we hear the last individual that was signed up by 2:30. We're asking that you keep your comments to 2 minutes. You have to understand we're doing all 6 Pioneer Homes plus the phone lines, and so we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to speak. This is a recorded session. This is being recorded at the request of the Division of Alaska Pioneer Homes. And we will rotate through the homes in alphabetical order, so I will just run down the order that we will be using today. Will be the Anchorage Pioneer Homes. We will do 5 from each location and then return back to the beginning. So it would be Anchorage Pioneer Home, the Anchorage Veterans and Pioneer Home in Palmer, Fairbanks Pioneer Home, Juneau Pioneer Home, Ketchikan Pioneer Home, Sitka Pioneer Home, and then we will go to the phone lines for 5 and then back again to Anchorage. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and get started. Who will be... Who's going to take the mic around?
Mickey, can you help with the mic?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Will you be explaining the nature of the service level changes and the rate increases, as well as the rationale for them?
Okay, we can go ahead and do that now. So the rate and level of service change was put out for regulatory process earlier this year. Currently, the Division of Alaska Pioneer Homes has 3 levels of service, 1 being primary, just residential, 2 being needing service during the daytime, and then level 3 is our highest level currently, which provides services 24 hours a day. The proposal would be to have 5 levels of service. We did have 5 levels of service. I believe that ended in... I don't have the dates offhand, but we at one time did have 5 levels of service. We think this better reflects the population that we currently have in our Pioneer Homes. The lowest level would be our more residential services. And we pretty much took level 2 and split it. So level 2, right now we have individuals at low level 2 and at a high level 2. So as elders age in place, we felt that there was a need to split that because of the amount of services needed as an individual ages and needs additional services from our staff. Then there would be a level 4, and then the top level would be level 5. If level 5 was developed for our complex behaviors neighborhood, it would not be utilized as a primary class at all 6 homes. We do have the ability to use it as needed, but that is for individuals that have a primary diagnosis of dementia, but then do have complex behaviors, such as excessive wandering, elopement, self-harm, things of that nature. And so that was the reason for the 5 levels being proposed today. The rates being proposed in regulations are reflective of the division charging what it costs to provide services. Currently, the state has been paying those rates to provide services, but we have not been charging them to the general public. And so that is where the proposal came for the rates. So we're going to go ahead and open it up, starting with Anchorage, and we have Carol Scott.
Good afternoon. I'm Carol Scott. I came to Alaska 59 years ago, and I am an Alaskan. I have been a resident of the Anchorage Pioneer Home for almost 4 years. As each New Year's happiness winds down at the Alaska Pioneer Homes, apprehension rises because each year we know there will be an increase in our fees. How much will the state increase our fees this year? Will we be able to pay them? Where will we get the money? And then this year, the governor's proposed budget knocked our twice-mended socks off. We already were wearing clothes from when we retired 10 or 15 years ago, and our allowance is only $200 a month. What? Where? How? The proposed cost for the five levels is preposterous. It would be difficult for anyone to pay any of the five levels. $15,000 for level five is ridiculous. The answer is, well, there's always assistance. Leave it at three levels. Do not make a fifth level statute. Make a three level statute with lower fees, but not what is proposed now. How do we add to the coffers? We old-timers remember the income tax of a certain percent of the federal tax. It didn't hurt us. Yet not one of the legislators introduced a bill for increased tax this session. Shame on them. How about a sales tax? Almost all states have one. The average seems to be about 5%. Again, not one of the legislators introduced a bill for a sales tax. Shame on them. We cannot expect all revenue to keep coming from tourism, oil, fishing, timber, and other old standbys. We, the people, must do something. We old-timers from the 1960s to 1990s are the pioneers who built the state and the cities. Look at the names and histories of the people who live or have lived in the Alaska Pioneer Homes. We old-timers have given you, the legislators, a state to run. Run it wisely. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Next, Erna.
Good afternoon. I'm Verna Espenshade, and I've lived in the Pioneer Home 9 years now. And I was pretty well satisfied with the salary I had to pay here for rent, but I am very upset with it now. And I live on the fourth floor, and there's about five or six of us there that could continue to pay our rent as it is of now. But if it goes up, I know I can't. And I can't stand the thought of getting on Medicaid because I could afford to pay my rent now. And so I don't know about the others on our floor, but several have moved out on my floor, and I can't move out. I've tried a year ago, but I've paid too much money here already. I don't have it left. So I'm not very happy with what's going on, and I want to know why the rent has to be raised. We are not working, earning money. So that's my question. Why does the rent have to go up? Because I don't cost this home much at all because I don't even eat here half the time, and I don't cost this place much money at all. So I just don't understand why the rent has to go up when we could afford to pay it. And if we go in Medicaid, then the government has to keep us, and that's a lot more expensive than us paying our low rent now. Thank you.
Next we have Lucy.
My name is Lucy Grove, and I have, I'm a widow of Clifford J. Grove, who died in 1998. I came to Alaska in late 1952 and have spent decades helping to build our state. I moved into the Anchorage Pioneer Home in 2017, and I strongly oppose Governor Don Levy's suggested proposed rate increases for Pioneer Home residents, which will, for a number of people, result in more than a doubling of the monthly rates. The Anchorage Pioneer Home is one of six Pioneer Homes located around Alaska. This network of state-owned and operated assisted living residences originated in 1913 and benefits our state's residents. The Pioneer Home gives senior citizens like me a comfortable home in safe and decent surroundings. The average Pioneer Home resident is 87 years old, and many of us face dementia. More than half of the residents in the Pioneer Homes require 24-hour care. In 2018, 567 Alaskans received care in a Pioneer Home, an increase of 44 residents over the prior year, according to a report to the legislature. A substantial percentage of the Pioneer Home residents are veterans. We see a number of 100 birthdays at Pioneer Homes, and the activities available here include a bingo night each week and ice cream socials on Friday. It is unfortunate that these facilities are underutilized, as the Anchorage Pioneer Home is a license for 168 residents, but had only 146 residents as of today, May 28, 2019. This life isn't cheap for residents. Current rates at the Pioneer Home vary based on the level of care necessary.
Lucy, I'm sorry. The 2 minutes is up. Can you finish for us? Thank you.
I simply want to lower the rates. That's possible.
Thank you, Lucy. I'm sorry to have to cut you off.
Next, I believe it's Avis Thompson.
Thank you. My name is Ave Thompson, and my wife's in the Anchorage Pioneer Home in the memory care unit. She requires help in getting through her day, requiring assistance with her daily life activities. The current monthly cost for residence and assistance is $6,795, or $81,540 a year. The Division of Pioneer Homes is proposing regulations that will increase the rate to $13,333 per month, or about $160,000 a year. That's an annual increase of over 96%. Seems to be driven by the fact that Governor Dunleavy's amended budget shifts the entire fund source to user fees. I'm a private payer in the Pioneer Home fees. This means I receive no monetary subsidy from either the state or the federal government. I have a small amount of long-term care insurance that will last for another 10 to 12 months. The rest of the cost is funded by our retirement income and personal savings. The cost increase will drive my wife out of the Pioneer Home. This means that this private payer will no longer be paying the entire amount of the fee. The replacement will, more than likely, be receiving state or federal subsidy to pay the bill, as they will be about the only ones who can afford to be in the Pioneer Homes. In the long run, this means most, if not all, of the residents will be subsidized by public dollars. I fail to see how this will benefit the citizens of Alaska. The Alaska State House recently passed House Bill 96, 35 yes and 45 no. That's a pretty bipartisan support. Limiting the monthly fee increases for the various levels of care and service. The Senate ran out of time to consider the bill, and any action on that bill won't occur before the next legislative session. Given the large majority by which House Bill 96 passed the House, it seems prudent to limit any increases by your division until the Senate, the governor, have had the opportunity to review, revise, reject, or approve the concepts in House Bill 96. While it can be said that the executive branch has sole authority to set the fees by regulation, there are many instances where the legislative branch has stepped in when an agency has acted too swiftly or drastically.
Sir, I apologize. Can you wrap it up for us? Thank you.
I will. I urge you to limit these increases or postpone them if you can until the legislature has an opportunity to deal with the issue.
Thank you. I apologize.
Next, we have Kim.
Hello. My name is Kimberly Barrows, and my father is a resident here. I have a few questions and stuff. When we came in, this building, which was built in 1977, had 200 beds, And because of the zoning, which I don't have that year, was only zoned as a residential area, so only 168 rooms could be occupied by residents. If you take that 28 rooms, double, 56, that is a quarter of $1 million per month, $257,600 that could be utilized if these rooms were filled with residents and not used as offices or storage rooms. Have you thought of, and the other question I have was financial statements. If a person is private pay, which we are, why would you need our financial statement? Because we are paying privately, and I understand the state says they can help, but how can they help if they're saying they can't afford to have us, you know, pay what we're paying? So is this like the Miller Trust, where you, the state takes your Social Security, your monthly retirement, and then they pay the difference, and then when you pass away, they go back and look at your assets, and they get the payment back through their assets if you should have any? And questions are like, anyone going to be grandfathered in, and how did you get this increase of 100%? And what will that include if there is an increase? More staffing, more residents, maybe letting the residents have two baths per week instead of one, toilet seats that are ADA approved, because this is a senior facility and the toilet seats are not ADA handicapped, and the bathtubs, there are some rooms that have been redone, I think a few, but what about the bathtubs they have to get in over 12-inch lifts? So those are my concerns, and the increase is just absolutely ridiculous. Thank you.
Okay, next we will move to the Palmer Pioneer Home. Go ahead, Palmer.
Hi there. This is Celia calling from Palmer. We have our first speaker is Janice Shipman. Janice, you're up. Yep. Yeah, you've got to speak on the microphone here. Let me put these a little closer.
So I'd like to ask a question first, if that won't cut into my 2 minutes. Is that all right? Hello?
This is a public comment period, and so we're not answering questions unless it is a technical question about how to use the
Okay, well, my comments, okay, so if only private pay residents are being charged the increase and the Medicare recipients are not, then to me this is just kind of unconscionable that you would come to the people that are paying private pay to make up for what the allowable amount under Medicare, or pardon me, Medicaid charges. And then it just seems like more people that are on private pay will end up leaving, or you're forcing them onto state assistance or federal assistance, which isn't going to benefit the state anymore. And I have done some research, and there are assisted living homes here in the Valley that charge cannot charge more than what the Medicaid daily rate is. So just, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around why the state can arbitrarily come in and charge private pay residents more and then demand their financial information, which is really none of their business, because the way I see that is if somebody has more money, then you're going to think that you can move them up to a higher level to get all the money sooner. And anyway, not knowing whether or not you are charging the private pay people more than Medicaid waiver allows, that's the piece that is just kind of unsettling for me. Anyway, I just think the state is going to end up losing more money if private pay residents end up leaving. So I hope you'll reconsider. You know, I addressed my concerns with you earlier when you came to the Pioneer Home, and then I also sent you another letter. And anyway, thank you.
Okay, Rosemarie Hayden.
Okay.
I'm Rose Marie Hayden. My husband is in here, and he is now a level 3, which means he will be level 6 or 11.5, you were saying. Now, I want you to realize the people that are in this home today are the people who have built this state. They started in 1960 and went clear to about 2010 before they started retiring. And now you have to think about the doctors and the nurses and the healthcare people and the educators that went out into all corners of this state to educate and treat. They stopped tuberculosis. They discovered that some young children in Northwest Alaska were developing liver cancer, so they had to go investigate that along with public health, and they discovered that they had developed a rare form of hepatitis B. And so then the state with public health, this state along with public health, helped develop the hepatitis B vaccine. Now these are the people that you have as residents in this facility. And I have become very attached to these dear people. They have built this state. They have made it what it is. They went out to all corners of this state, built roads. There were farmers and engineers and educators that went to every place in this state. They built water systems and sanitation systems so that there was clean water for everybody. Now stop and think about how this is. Right now, if I'm paying $7,000 with Dunleavy's plan, I will have to pay $15,000 a month. That is $150,000 a year to take care of one person. That is ridiculous. There is no way that anybody in this generation of people that are in here now made that kind of money. I was a nursing supervisor in a big system in California with advanced degrees and only made $15 an hour in the 60s and 70s. So you think about what people made in those days. No matter how much they saved, there was not enough to save when you're raising a family. So think about these things when you're trying to increase our funds. We can do it. There's no way that we can do that. Thank you.
Okay, next up is Greg Hayden.
Hello, my name is Greg Hayden. My father is John Hayden, who lives on the protected wing here at the Palmer Pioneer Home. He has dementia. He has also suffered from a stroke. He can do pretty much nothing for himself. He needs assistance 24/7. He's a level 3 now, which is approximately $7,000 a month. The proposed increase up to $15,000 a month is $180,000 a year. I don't know many people that can afford $180,000 a year. Just the increase itself is more money than my parents take in retirement. This is really, really unsustainable unless the end game for the state is just to close the Pioneer Homes, which would not surprise me with the current administration. If these increases go through, my father won't be able to stay in the Pioneer Home. I have no idea where he would go. My mother can't move him, can't lift him. He would probably end up dying in a bed that he could not move around in. I adamantly oppose this increase in fees, and I'm hoping that sounder minds will make some good decisions here. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Let's see, Bill Brokaw. Okay. Next up is John Narcott.
This is John Orcott. I'm located in the Anchorage Pioneer Home. I have been doing some research on the costs, and I haven't seen anything that details the specific costs of what is paid by the state to operate any of these homes. It seems like it's an arbitrary number, and this rate increase does not have any justification supporting it, in that it just increases my rate up to $5,000 or $6,000, and then as the gentleman before me, his is going to go sky high, as are many of the other residents. It's an aging population, and this was developed for those aging people in support of their lifestyle, which is being dramatically challenged because of the age and other things that are going on within the organization. I would like to see a cost analysis of where the money is going now and where the increases would come into play and where they would fill what gap, if there is any, and what other areas they would increase, and make sure that they are supporting the homes and not the state bureaucracy. Thank you.
Okay, Wayne? Yep, okay. We have one more, Connie Woodler.
My name is Connie Woodler. My mother lives in the Palmer Pioneer Home at level 3, which would raise her rate to almost $14,000 a month. She cannot afford this. She will have to go on a subsistence or subsidized. And Mr. Lasley, I wrote you a letter in March asking you some of the same questions that have been brought up by previous speakers here about where does the money come from between what a person can afford to pay and what they will be charged, because if it just comes out of a different portion of the state money, I can't see how the raise in rates is going to benefit the state or anyone else. And more people will have to be on subsidies because people will not be able to afford these rates. I can understand that the government can't run in the red and that rates do need to be raised, but they should be raised in reasonable increments over several years and not just 100% in 1 year. Thank you.
This is Celia Conrad calling from the Pioneer Home. That is all the residents that I have signed up. There might be some others later on.
Okay, thank you, Celia. We're going to go now to Fairbanks, and we'll come back to you here in a little bit. Fairbanks, Pioneer Home.
Hi, our first speaker is Hollis Hall. Okay.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am not a resident of the Pioneer Home. I reside at 2816 Chief Alexander Drive here in Fairbanks, and I am in my 85th year. The legislature has a difficult task of separating need from greed. I hope my testimony will help you perform that task. Pioneer homes are not a recent concept in Alaska. In 1913, the first territorial legislature authorized funds for a home in Sitka. Construction started the next year, but the next home wasn't built until 1976 here in Fairbanks. Then four more followed. I'm proud that our state has a long-time commitment to its seniors, a covenant, as it were. Even though our Pioneer Home population represents past shrewd business people, cunning entrepreneurs, human rights advocates, great teachers, and wonderful parents, the residents now find themselves at a very vulnerable time in their life. For some, their spirit is broken. After working hard to own their home in a time when the deed was a rite of passage. They must now rent a room. Some have successfully operated a business, but now must turn their checking account over to strangers. For others, they live in fear for their future in the home. A couple years ago, a resident in his home was convinced, and he tried to convince me, that when his bed was needed, they would put him in the snowbank and let him freeze to death. Some who successfully cared for a half dozen of their own children suddenly find that they now are the child. Folks, our Alaskans in the Pioneer Homes are some of the most vulnerable amongst us, and they deserve not only compassion, but also dignity. We have come to the point where politicians and citizens alike, to choose a balance, the state budget, on the crooked and tired backs of the elderly so that we can have a PFD that's twice as large as any in the past.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Urban Rahoy.
Well, I have a story to tell you. I'm 100 years old. I was 97 and a half years old before I had a stroke. And in South Fairbanks, I built all the streets out there. I built that railroad spur from Wainwright over to the airport and put all the sewer lines in out there and everything out of my own pocket. Now, if I had all that money, I wouldn't have to be sitting here. I could have my own private hospital. So, by God, you guys, don't be coward. Get your head out of it. And get a tax on it and help these people that are sitting here with me. That's enough. Who's next?
Thank you, Urban. Our next speaker is Dixon Jones.
My name is Dixon Jones. My mother, Catherine, has been a resident at the Fairbanks Pioneer Home since 2013. Let me state clearly at the outset, I have no problem with state subsidies for elderly Alaskans who require specialized care in the last days of their lives. I'd like to read to you from an email I received from then-Senator Mike Dunleavy in 2017, whose office assumed that I was one of his constituents and kindly sent me a reply. So this is from Senator Mike Dunleavy. Dear Dixon, thank you for contacting me with your concerns regarding the potential closure of the Palmer Veterans and Pioneers Home. I, too, am greatly alarmed. And then he goes on to say, I am troubled that the Walker administration has unnecessarily caused tremendous anxiety to our most vulnerable Alaskans by prematurely informing residents and their families of the potential closure of the facility this coming summer. That was in 2017. Then Dunleavy finishes, I will continue to do everything in my power to ensure that the administration carries out the intent of the legislature and properly prioritizes services within the department in a way that still provides for our most vulnerable Alaskans. Thank you again for your email. Sincerely, Senator Mike Dunleavy. From this message, I surmise that Senator Dunleavy was aware that the elderly are, quote, our most vulnerable Alaskans, unquote. He said that phrase exactly twice. I am angered, disgusted, and disheartened by a government mentality that insists on writing into the Alaska Administrative Code the words, to compensate the state for cost of services. I've searched the Alaska Administrative Code for the phrase, compensate the state, and found it in just two contexts, for the Fishery Resource Landing Tax and for the Pioneer Homes, where the current wording says partially compensate the state. We're talking about a support system here, people, a safety net intended for our most vulnerable Alaskans. Thank you.
Rita Himes is our next speaker.
I would just concur with what has been said previously. I would just like to concur with what has been said previously. Does the state really and truly need the extra money? And what is it being used for? Is it being used for the Pioneer Homes, or is it being used for administrative expenses? I think that's an answer that needs to be answered.
Thank you, Rita. Our next speaker is Beverly Prince.
May I speak? My name is Andrew Prince. I'm speaking for Beverly, my mother, who's sitting right next to me here. I don't have a prepared statement because I just happened to be visiting her today and found out about the meeting here. So I don't want to repeat all the reasons that these rate increases are unfair. Not only are these residents going to be able to afford it, but how many future senior residents in this state are going to have to decide not to move into the Pioneer Home in the first place because the rates will be too much. I'm retired myself and have been traveling to some states in this country who have an oil industry, the state of Texas, the state of Louisiana. All of these states have state sales tax. Several of them have state income taxes, even with the oil money they've received. The state of Alaska, I urge the legislators to look at the big picture, the future of Alaska. Some difficult choices are going to have to be made, like lessening or eliminating the permanent fund dividend, creating some tax structure that's spread among all the residents of Alaska. I can tell you, being familiar with the construction industry and the industry of oil and meeting some people in these other states, that the oil companies have a lot of money. They are not going to leave the state of Alaska if we tax them more. They have been playing this game with many other states for many years. I think a combination of having every resident in the state bear a little bit of the burden and looking at our oil income, which is declining, but which could be maybe renegotiated. So please don't look at two or three programs to bear the whole burden. Look at the big picture. Thank you.
Thank you. So we will now move to Juno Pioneer Home.
Hi, Clint. Thank you. Margie? Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Margie Beadle from Juno. I want to make two points, one about the commitment to our state made by the residents, and the other about the public and legislative response this spring to the proposed changes. Many of the Pioneer Home residents came to Juno before statehood and helped develop and defend the state. They were business owners, teachers, engineers, state workers, commissioners, veterans, and they raised their families. They paid state income tax for most of their working years, including during the time the Pioneer's homes were constructed. And now that the residents need care and are on fixed incomes, it is appropriate that the state meet them partway to provide their care. As you're no doubt aware, there's a bill, House Bill 96, which keeps rates at a level much closer to the current level, with increases tied to inflation rather than the state's fluctuating economy. The bill has received an abundance of support from the public, including many of the residents here at the Juno Pioneers Home, as well as bipartisan support in the House. It is evident that our state legislators and the public support keeping the rates as low as possible, meeting our elders partway and the cost of their care. The bill will move to the Senate next year. Also, other sources of revenue, such as reworking the PFD formula or instituting other tax structures, will continue to be discussed and will most likely gain traction during the second year of this two-year legislative cycle. For the department to change the rates before this bill's fate is resolved would be premature and create a lot of instability for residents and the Pioneers Home system as a whole. The residents already experience a lot of uncertainty at this time of their lives. Adding economic instability and uncertainty will further stress these individuals and their families. So rather than raise the rates for fiscal year 2020 only to change them again when the legislative process is completed for this bill next year, I urge you to hold the course as steady as possible, enacting modest changes which align more closely with the sentiment of the public and legislators may be the best path forward for fiscal year 2020. Families, communities, and entire states are stronger when they take care of each other. I believe that the state's commitment to meeting our elders partway, respectfully and generously honoring their history in the building of our state and their presence in our community, is good for our residents and good for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Juno, do you have your next of five guests?
I do.
Hi. Pardon me. My name is Fred Koken. My wife and I are just a few months away from celebrating our 50th anniversary as Alaskan residents. My wife is a two-year resident of Juneau Pioneer Home. When I received notification of the proposed rate increase, it was frightening. It was like a severe gut blow. I would urge you to consider trying to develop a system that would grandfather the existing residents into the home at existing rates. Over time, why you would move up to whatever the tier two rate might be, if in fact that's what you want to call it. But it could be increased with inflation, the consumer price index. I know and understand the wisdom and the need to balance the budget. For 30 years in Alaska, I worked as a financial consultant, so I do understand these things. I would just ask this in closing. Please, I beg you, do not try to balance the budget on the backs of our most vulnerable citizens, those being the elderly and the senior. Thank you.
Hello, this is Luann McVeigh, and I live in Juneau. I moved to Juneau with my family in 1957 when I was a toddler. My parents have lived in Juneau ever since, except for 4 years when they were out of state for my dad's federal service. My 87-year-old father and my mom, now 86, worked for the federal government all this time, retiring in the mid-80s, and they continue to live in their Juneau home. They were planning to move into the Pioneer home when they were unable to live independently. Well, the rate increases in the current draft regulations will make the Pioneer home unaffordable to my parents. They're very worried, as am I, about what will become of them when they can't live on their own anymore. The Pioneer homes were never intended to be a revenue generator. They were meant to provide a true home for Alaskan elders regardless of income. Please keep the Pioneer homes reasonable. I support Representative Fields HB 96, which would adjust Pioneer home rates based on Social Security payment amounts. These increases are reasonable. Those proposed in the new regulations are not. Alaska needs to increase revenue by cutting tax credits to the oil companies, reducing the PFD, and instituting an income tax to protect Pioneer homes and other important services that make Alaska such an exceptional place to live. Thank you for listening to my thoughts.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Steele. I'm 26 years old, and I'm testifying today on behalf of myself, as well as other grandchildren and great-grandchildren throughout the state of Alaska. My grandparents moved to Alaska in 1957 when they were even younger than I am now, before our great state was even a state at all. They came for a work opportunity for my grandpa, but also for adventure. They and others like them built homes, families, and a community here, contributing to our state in innumerable ways. As these pioneers of Alaska age, they deserve to have a comfortable, affordable place to call home. While my grandparents still do live in their home, they and I and the rest of our family find ourselves increasingly worried about the outcome if and when they're unable to continue to do so. On a purely economic note, the proposed rate increase may not, in my opinion and the opinions of economists as well, achieve the department's desired outcome of recapturing the most of the current subsidy to self-pay residents. If this increase is passed, private pay residents will undoubtedly shop around for services, making it likely that the percentage of private pay residents will drop and the percentage of Medicaid residents will rise, which will likely produce an increased cost to the state, as Medicaid does not pay at the level proposed. As I understand it, the proposed increases will also decrease the maximum monthly allowance to a community spouse to $1,500, which could act as a further deterrent to Alaska residents, like my grandparents, remaining in the state when one of the spouses needs additional care. Losing residents and separating spouses is not to the advantage of the state or its residents. By increasing Pioneer Home rates, you will make these safe, comfortable homes for the pioneers of this state, my grandparents, and thousands of other grandparents, more difficult or even impossible to access due to cost. These Alaskans helped build a future for our state. Let's continue to find one here for them. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Mark Badger, and I live at 126 West 7th Street, Juneau, Alaska. My parents, 3 years ago, began to experience the demise of their life in Anchorage. For the last 3 years, I virtually received a master's degree in Alaska senior care, Medicare, Medicaid, and the other things that elder care requires. Assisted living homes are abysmal. Not all of them, the good, bad, and the ugly. From $5,000 to $7,000, which is the rough low-end cost, there were many different types. But the idealistic ones, there was a five-year waiting period, a five-year wait list. Plus, they did not accept Medicaid. So in other words, the best of the best is skimming off the cream from the system as we go into, as the residents begin to fail. My dad has taken care of my mother for the last 7 years. Juneau is a city of steps. They're not able to move in with us. I would like to just point out, sort of the idea of the urgent and or the budget and the philosophic. Roads don't require a higher rate if only five people live on it. There are places in Fairbanks where the roads at the end of the road are very expensive to keep plowed. But everyone pays for those services. Libraries, sports fishing. Has the governor's budget reflected that all fish that are taken out should have the overhead of the management of sports fishing, salmon? Why is it that the Pioneer's Home seems to be so targeted to receive a zero-based supplement from the state? The budget, as proposed by the governor, provides an excellent window in on what it takes to balance the budget. It's also an opportunity to ask ourselves, what do we want to be in the future? Do we want to be a state that shunts people off to Arizona and taking their families with them? Or do we want to be a state that shows compassion for those in need and for the treasure that currently houses the pioneers of Alaska, the pioneer homes that take all of the combined knowledge? I believe that this provides an opportunity for Alaskans to speak about what they want to be.
Mark, this is Clint Lastly. Can you wrap up your testimony, please?
I certainly can. I'm not going to whine about the rates. I am going to just point out that it does not really take into account the idea of what Alaskans are. And now that's the opportunity Alaska has in front of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We will now move to Ketchikan Pioneer Home.
Clint, we do have more people here in Juneau that would like to speak.
We will be
more
back.
On the list.
Okay,
thank
we're round robin. We'll be back to them. Ketchikan?
Clint, we just have one speaker here. Her name is Eileen Casey, and she is a resident.
My name is Eileen Casey. My husband and I moved to Alaska 26 years ago. He has passed away. I'm a teacher, and I taught school for about 25 years. I have MS, and I taught in Juneau. I feel that they were encouraging elderly people to stay in Alaska instead of moving someplace else. And I'm alone now, and I have been, my MS is worse, so I had to go stop teaching it because of my disability. But I taught for many, many years, and I feel this increase is just impossible. And I think there's other ways of making money, but I don't think you have to make money from people who have earned the right and worked in Alaska to make things better. I think this is terrible, and I think we have to rethink this whole thing, because if this goes through, I don't know what's going to happen to myself and other people who live here. Where will we go? I don't know.
And
thank you, Ms.
That's it for testimony from Ketchikan at this time, Clint.
Okay, thank you. We will move on to Sitka.
Speaker here in Sitka is Nancy Ricketts.
I'm sorry, if Sitka is speaking, we cannot hear.
A little closer. Okay. The goal of the governor and the state is to cut state spending. The goal of most residents is to first have a relaxed old age, and second, stay as independent as possible. My goal, I sold my house to be able to afford the rates as much as possible here at the Pioneer Home. I planned carefully so that I could probably remain in control of expenses. I remain in the best health possible to maintain these goals for the rest of my life. What very well may happen, as a clash of state and personal goals, is that all rates would go up, two new levels added. We would start to pay the new rate, decreasing our available funds much faster. Our health will decline as a result of stress. Our funds are used up, and we are faced with a loss of independence, the most horrible thing I can think of. The state would have to pay either that to keep us going here or throw us out in the street, and they're not going to do that, so somebody has to pay for this. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lauren Wild, and I was born and raised in Sitka. My mother came to Alaska in 1975 and never left. She is now in the Pioneers Home at a Level 3 care. I look around the Pioneers Home in Sitka, and I see people that have lived and worked in Alaska for many decades or their entire lives and put money and time into our communities. They built this state, and they deserve our assistance and for the state of Alaska to give back to them now. The proposed cuts to people at the higher levels of care are way too high, and they cannot afford these costs. My mother has dementia, and under this proposal, her rent would go up from $6,800 a month to up to $15,400 per month. That is an increase of about $8,600, or more than double her current rent. The full yearly cost is more than my parents' combined income when they were working. These astronomical increases in cost for our seniors are going to cause many of our elderly to be forced to leave Alaska and retire in the lower 48, and that is not good for Alaska. Additionally, these changes are happening way too fast for people to plan. People need time to figure out how they're going to adapt to increasing costs. Instead of increasing incrementally over time, you've put forward a plan to more than double the cost for my mom within about 4 months' time. You're not giving us enough time to figure out how we can cope with these changes, and obviously these are not small changes. We're talking about $160,000 a year. These added costs are just adding to the stress for spouses and loved ones like my dad and our family, on top of dealing with the stress of my mother's disease. I'm opposed to these changes. I am asking for the state to honor our senior citizens and help provide affordable ways to die while staying in Alaska. I would also ask that you do not try to balance the budget by taking from our most vulnerable and our elderly. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to hear our words. I am a senior citizen, disabled and handicapped, have been ever since 1943. I enjoy the Sitka Pioneer Home because it gives me an opportunity to see the others that are residents in this facility. I know it's kind of hard to work on the budget or whatever because a lot of us are on subsidized funding. I only get Social Security. I don't get nothing else. So I urge the legislature and everyone else in the higher places to take a good look at themselves and who they represent, the vulnerable senior citizens of the state of Alaska. Thank you for listening.
That statement was
my name is Ralph Houston. I'm originally from Juneau, but I was transferred over to Sitka Pioneers Home for a duration until I can get into the Pioneer Home in Juneau. Thank you.
Well, my name is Albert Amnes, and I have been in Sitka since 1969. And I've worked as a nursing aide, I've worked as a missionary in here, I've worked with in the stores as clerks, and I have loved Sitka. And then my husband passed away about 5 years ago now, almost, and I lived by myself for a time, and got to the place where I needed the fellowship. I needed not only the fellowship, but the assistance and the help that I can get in the home. It's a very good place to live. I'm sorry for an increase in rent payment or whatever, because actually you take all that I have right now. Every month that I pay my bills, that's it. They couldn't get any more from me if they wanted it. And so I think it's a very difficult thing and needs to be handled more individually than just a general statement of what the expenses are. I'm sorry that it has to happen. I know you need money to operate, but at the same time, we are hurting a lot, and I pray that there'll be help for everybody. Thank you.
My name is Freddie Young. I've been here in the home a number of years, and I'm very disappointed in this proposal for the rate increase. It's very pathetic, I think, and I'm just hoping that things turn around and we have a consideration for more affordable rates. The homes were never intended to pay for themselves. They were intended to minister to the needy and to the elderly, and that's where I find myself now. Thank you very much, and I oppose the rate increases.
Thank you, Freddie. Jennifer, we're now going to go to the phone lines.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. One moment for any questions. And we have no questions on the phone line.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Hearing no questions on the phone currently, we will go back. We're back in Anchorage. Next, we have Chuck.
Good afternoon. My name is Chuck Cicero. And before I start anything else, let me say this. My father died in this place right here about 25 years ago. And I want to establish the fact that I was a legislator. And Ted Stevens and I ran together, so to speak, 1964. One of the first things we did after we got elected was to go to Sitka to see the pioneers. Slip them enough money so they could buy a bottle of whiskey between 3 or 4 of them and enjoy the last few years of their lives. I think it's a disgrace to tell the people who actually built Alaska with their bare hands and their sweat. Now that they're getting elderly, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but about my wife, my mother would claim I'm 87, that we would bear the burden of supporting a system that can't seem to support us when we need help. And I feel sorry for the people of Alaska who spent their whole lifetime building a state, and the state government's looking at it as a way to chisel around, get them to pay more. And so I think it's disgraceful. There's no reason in the world why the state of Alaska, with the amount of money that gets into the state, is produced in the state, cannot meet their obligation to provide a decent living for people who are reaching their 80th year. They need help, they need health care, and they need to be supported. And if that's all there is to it, you're ignoring your obligations as a state if you don't support these people. It's sort of like the way I treated education. I wanted to pour money into education. Why? We didn't want the brain drain going out of Alaska that was occurring when we didn't have a University of Alaska. So I said, let's build a UAA. I got people that opposed me, but I said, look, we can't afford to lose these kids. Now you turn the picture around a little bit. You can't afford to lose these senior citizens. That's part of the fabric of this state.
And I think it's disgraceful we're even having a discussion. We, the state, can afford to meet these obligations, help these people, not ask them to raise more money when they just don't have the sources to do it. I'd love to talk to you. My 5 minutes are up. But if you want to stick around afterwards, I'll tell you the truth. Okay? Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Next we have David Bowen.
My name is David Bowens, and my mother-in-law, Lydia Rogers, is a resident of the Pioneer Home. I was looking, got to the 2020 proposed budget. I understand that's probably has changed, but basically the state in 2019 had $33 million that they were putting toward the Pioneer Home. For the 2020 proposed budget, they were going to reduce that to $15 million. So that means there's $18 million that they're going to transfer to the 442 residents of the Pioneer Home. Most of those are the level three people. $18 million, I don't mean to pick on rural Alaska, but I see where the state routinely will spend $15 million for repairing some rural runway for 75 people. And I understand that those people want to live there and we need to support them, but I don't see a lot of places in the state where the residents or the people with benefit pay 100% of the cost of the service. I mean, if that was the case, this state would not have any budget problems because we'd recover everything plus. The other thing, too, is the timing, not allowing people time to plan for rate increases is unacceptable. I think the 51% of people in 2018 that were private pay, probably had financial planners or some sort of plan to cover their worst-case scenario. And now we're not able to do that, and people are going to have to completely, the ones that can put pay into the old system probably won't be able to under the new system. And I think the legislature needs to be educated about this. I got a note from Senator Kathy Geisel, and she was very kind to reply. But to quote, the fact is many of the API residents can afford the higher rates. Well, yeah, 51% are private pay, but when you increase these rates, that's going to go way down, and you're going to be having the majority, you're not going to have 51% of the residents able to afford to stay here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Becky Calhoun Islands.
My name is Becky Calhoun Isles. I was born in the territory of Alaska in 1954 in Fairbanks. I'm the daughter of Betty Calhoun, who came with shortly after my father in 1949. And my mother is a resident of the Anchorage Pioneer Home. Thank you for the opportunity to be heard. Proposed rates are too much, too fast, and significantly impact the current residents of all the homes throughout the state. I know some residents have moved out due to the proposed increases and expected additional financial impacts to them due to these changes. In my opinion, part of that uncertainty comes from our trusted servants, aka elected officials, failing for more than a decade not to implement other sustainable sources of income rather than relying so heavily on oil and federal funding. It should not be our pioneers and elders that pay the price for lack of action by our elected officials. If a raise in fees is going to be pushed through regardless of its impacts to the residents, it should be started with a small increase on the first blow. Maybe amounts similar to those proposed by House Bill 96, which is currently in the legislature, being considered in the legislature. Please carefully consider the impacts for elders, parents, grandparents, and pioneers who helped build the state. Those who worked long, hard hours in extreme temperatures and rugged conditions, who paid their dues and taxes through the years. Please review carefully, thoughtfully, in a measured manner, these comments and testimonies and the impacts of the residents regarding these proposed changes. Thanks for your time.
Next, thank you, Becky. Next, we have Cheryl Punder.
Hi, I've been in Alaska since I got out of college in 1969. An oil company brought me here, and I love it here. However, I get a little upset when I feel like the powers of be are preying on the weak. It's not like we can run out and get a job, because who wants to hire a 73-year-old woman? Nobody, I found out. So essentially, you're moving me from here to the Park Strip or 4th Avenue or somewhere. I don't know where. I can't pay anymore. And I don't know what I'm going to do, actually. I can't get any help from anybody, and I can't pay anymore. So I don't know. I mean, you're going to see me pitched out in a tent out here somewhere until the cops come and move me away, I guess. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Cheryl. Matt Schultz?
Hi, my name is Reverend Matthew Schultz. I'm the pastor at First Presbyterian Church right down the road. And this is my 10th year in Alaska, which in this room makes me a newcomer. And others have spoken to the finances of this better than I could and more eloquently, and I'm here to speak about something different. I'm speaking about the people whom we serve at our monthly worship service here in this room, the members of our church and the family members of that are staying here at the Pioneer Home. And I want to speak against these increases because they're not about what we can afford. They're about who we choose to be as a people. And I would just like to echo the gentleman who earlier said it's unconscionable that this is even a discussion, that we would even put this on the table. The fact that we would consider kicking our elders out of their housing before we even consider a tax on ourselves makes us unworthy of the title the Great Land. Are we truly wanting to be something more than nice wildlife and beautiful scenery? If so, we have to realize that a service like the Pioneer Home is not a commodity that we sell. It's a duty that we have the honor to provide. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. We're now moving to back to Palmer. Does Palmer have anyone else who would like to speak?
Hi there. Yes, we have one more resident. His name is Stanley Parrott.
My name is Stan Parrott.
We'll get you a little closer, Stan, to the mic.
I won't take much of your time here. I've had a couple of strokes. So my head doesn't work exactly like it should. However, I am presently a level 2 in this facility, which is not bad. $4,692 a month. Under your proposal, not will I be just raised in level 2. I will go to level 3, which means I will have an increase of $6,493 a month. I think that's just a little steep. I'm sorry I don't have more information, but this is what I'm told. Thank you very much.
Okay, that is it for Palmer.
Okay, thank you. Moving next to Fairbanks Pioneer Home.
Our first speaker is Debbie Tilford.
Thank you. My mother is a resident here at level 1. I strongly oppose the rates proposed in your new regulations. If the bank that held your mortgage told you that it was going to raise your payment 40%, 70%, 100% or more, what would you do? Get a second job, a third job, or turn your house back to the bank and find another place you could afford? And what if you knew that the bank had billions of dollars in investments and many other options for raising money, but it decided that it was easiest and best to raise your rates instead of considering those options? How would you feel about that bank? Any landlord in the private sector who tried to raise his rates so drastically would not only lose all his tenants, but would also either A, go out of business, or B, be run out of town. Pioneers live on tight budgets. They do not have the kinds of resources that would allow them to pay such high rates for more than a few months or a few years at best. If you instate these rates, you will anger the pioneers who live here, their families and friends. You will lose tenants. You will lose votes in the next election, and you will discourage the very people you hope to attract, those with the means to be self-paying, from coming to the Pioneer home until they are sick and destitute. Keep the current rates in place and increase them modestly in line with the cost of living. Find other sources of revenue to keep the Pioneer homes running at their current levels. Thank you.
And the last person we have signed up to speak is Carol Klopp.
My name is Carol Klopp. I live in the Fairbanks Pioneer Home. I've lived in Fairbanks for 50 years. I want to say I agree with and support all the excellent testimony I've heard this afternoon opposing the rate increase. I'll just add another comment. My biggest concern is that major rate changes should not be imposed on those of us already living here in the home. It's just grossly unfair. We should be grandfathered in to the approximate rates that we understood and agreed on when we moved in. Some of us don't want to have to apply for state assistance. I planned and saved so that I could have enough to pay my way for probably 5 years, maybe more, when I moved in. Now, if the rug is pulled out from under me, and I have to apply for state assistance, I know that I might be denied. And then where am I? I know I'm in bad shape. It's just not fair to change the rules on us after we're here. Thank you.
We have no one else in Fairbanks at this time.
Thank you. We will now move to Juneau, Juneau Pioneer Home.
Clint, we have seven more on our list.
So we'll take the next, we'll take the next five.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Cecilia Miller, and I'm a resident here in Juneau. I was, however, born and raised in Anchorage. I'm here as a daughter of a former resident. My mom was a pioneer in Alaska. She came up to teach driving up the Alcan as a young lady. She taught at Anchorage High School when there was only one high school there in Anchorage. And she resided here at the Juneau Pioneer Home. This is an outstanding place. If you've never been here, you should come and visit any of them in any of the places. And she paid for about 4 years, private pay, and the last year she ended up on payment assistance. With these rate increases, that would have happened a long time before that. I definitely support HB 96. I'm pleased to see there are four or five legislators here listening to public testimony here at the Juneau Pioneer Home. I think that will help make a stable rate. But then I'm always worried about the people that are here, people like Phyllis, I know, that are here, and she came in with knowing a rate that she was going to pay, and now it's changing. So I'd strongly encourage some sort of grandfather clause to help make that bridge for those folks. For the lovely lady that testified before and how they were going to make it and their family is going to be able to support them. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susie Gregg Fowler. My grandpa moved to the Juneau Pioneers home in 1989. And since then, three more members of my family have lived here. Nobody lives here now, but they all had what you could call good deaths, surrounded by loving staff, other residents, and our family, who always have felt welcome here and still can come here and feel welcome. I'm here today to make a request to the administration. Please slow down these rate changes. Changes this dramatic ought not be rushed. Other people have said it. It's true, rates haven't been raised for a long time, but surely these kinds of increases deserve a lot of thought and a lot of time and room for people to adapt to the changes they have to. Give the people who live here and their family members who may help handle their finances time to plan, so they can talk with each other, financial advisors, allow time to adjust themselves to the increases that have to happen. Please, when making your rate changes, make sensible decisions. Think about what's reasonable and right. The goal shouldn't be to compare costs to private facilities. To those who say people should pay their own way, the regulations provide the rate charge need not fully compensate the state for the cost of care and support. Maybe we in the state are compensating people for what they've given the state, those of us who live here now. I'm trying to scan through my notes here. There are people here whose retirement incomes may allow them to pay current rates, but not dramatic increases. And it changes the way people feel about themselves when the independence that they have thrived on has to go away and they need to get the support that they didn't plan on needing. It was part of the decisions that they made. House Bill 96, which has passed the House and is now before the Senate, sets out a system. It also means an increase, but it provides a system, some warnings for people, things people can count on. For an administration to come into power and make abrupt and unanticipated changes in the quality of people's lives to create confusion and anxiety about the future, offering only a few months to rearrange lives, finances, decisions, is just mean-spirited. The people in these homes are not just statistics. They are our elders, our families, our friends, and our mentors. Let's take care, being tender with each other and thoughtful about the decisions we make. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Amy Miller. I'm emotional after listening to Susie and Greg Fowler. My father, Robert Isaac, is here at the Pioneers Home. He's 99 and has been here for a year. He'll celebrate, hopefully, his 100th birthday here in a few months. I just want to hearken back. As far as the rate changes go, unequivocally, I say let's go with a modest amount of rates at a graduated level, and let's, if possible, even grandfather in the folks that are here and at the stages that they are currently at. But beyond that, somebody else spoke about how we choose to be as a state, and Alaska has always been different. The people who came here, both my parents came pre-statehood. Father was a veteran in Fairbanks. Mother came here to go to UAF after on the GI Bill and lived here ever since for more than almost 70 years. And they contributed far more to Alaska than Alaska could ever compensate them for. And so did all of their fellow residents and neighbors. And represented a part of Alaska that is fading away, I fear, but there's little you could do to compensate them for the lives they had before the oil was changed at all and before they stopped paying taxes. The folks who paid their fair share, they did their traveling on
float planes and hip waders and getting to docks with the help of the Coast Guard to go visit a remote school. They worked as coaches free of charge. They worked as community leaders and homemakers and people who watched out for kids and established relationships as lunch ladies in schools and drivers of school buses, all before we had the PFD, all before we had a lot of things. And we need to just support those people that are here in the Pioneers Home today. It was a promise we made as a state. Families should not have to go out of state and be separated from their families that remain in Juneau or Anchorage or anywhere else. We don't have the ability for cheap travel to the lower 48. And this is an emotional argument for me, and I didn't have prepared notes. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. My name is Zach Fields. I represent House District 20 in the state legislature. Thank you, Representative Story, Ortiz, and Sponholz, for attending today as well in Juneau. I'm delivering letters to Director Lasley and Commissioner Crum. Thank you, Representative Ortiz, for leading this letter signed by many legislators, including the Speaker of the House, urging opposition to proposed rate increases from the department and suggesting that any rate increases be limited to those inflation-adjusted rates in House Bill 96. As many testifiers mentioned previously, the House passed House Bill 96 on an overwhelming 35-4 bipartisan margin, and the Senate will be taking up this legislation next year. It makes no sense to impose massive rate increases that would only be reversed when and if the Senate rolled back those proposed increases. We heard in House Finance that actually these massive rate increases could cost the state more money by, as previous people testified, driving out self-pay residents, meaning that the administration's proposal would not only be cruel, as we've heard, and unconscionable, as the Reverend testified, but would also be fiscally counterproductive. In fact, in House Finance, the nonpartisan Legislative Finance Division said that if we really wanted to save the state money, we would be lowering rates to bring in more self-pay residents. So we should do the right thing and keep faith with our elders by rejecting these outrageous rate increases, because honoring our elders and protecting the state's financial self-interest can actually be done at the same time by maintaining affordable rates. Thank you.
That would be our five. Clint, do you want us to keep going, or are you going to go around?
That was just four, I believe. We have one more.
Sorry. Thank you.
My name is Janet Henderson here in Juneau, Alaska. My mother is a resident here at the Pioneer Home and has been for over 2 years. She is 90 years old. This is a time of Pioneer's life, age 80 to over 104. It is not the time to add more stress and anxiety to their lives. They already fear the end of their days, who will take care of them, and what they will eat and where they will live. Many of our pioneers here in Pioneer Home are here because they plan for this in their working days. Most of them have worked and lived and paid into the state and community for at least 50, 60, and 70 years. They have saved their hard-earned money to be able to live comfortable at this time of their lives. The pioneers living here grew up and worked during times when little cash was available to put away, but they did. They saved for their future. They didn't waste their money. They lived through war and depression in their childhood. They knew what it was like to go without a lot of luxuries we take for granted today. Imagine buying your first house for $5,000 to $10,000, and now you have to pay $7,000 to $15,000 a month for your place to live. My parents moved us here in 1964 to live a good life and build a healthy future for our family. They left good jobs in California to move here and raise our family in a healthy community. They both worked here. My dad was a private contractor and then worked for the State Department of Transportation, and my mom worked for the Coast Guard Credit Union and the Juneau School District, adding to this community and this state. It's time to look at other sources in Alaska to help put the budget back together. It's not acceptable to expect these seniors to double or triple their payments now for the budget of this state. They already paid their time for their lives. Please look at other ways to help the state budget. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jenna. So the time is now 2:30, and so we are closing the sign-up period. Again, we will take comment from everyone that is currently has signed up and anyone that is currently on the line on hold. So we are with that. We're going to move on to Ketchikan. Does Ketchikan have anyone else that would like to testify?
We do not.
Thank you. Hearing none, we will move to Sitka. Does Sitka have anyone else? Sitka Pioneer Home, do you have anyone else who would like to testify?
President Martha Howard.
Hi. My name is Martha Howard. I didn't know about my payment, but my younger sister, my younger daughter, taking care of. Is she going to take care of my finances? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Howard. Is there anyone else from Sitka?
That's all.
Thank you, Sitka. Back to the phones. Jennifer, do we have anyone on the line?
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press 1-4 if you have any questions or comments. And we have no one on the phone lines.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hearing none, we are back to Anchorage Pioneer Home. Next on our list is Jack Tessier.
My name is Jack Tessier. I was born and raised here. I've been here all my life. I'm 70 years old. My father was born in Cordova. My grandmother was born in Kodiak. Needless to say, my family has helped build a state to what it is today. I find it extremely hard to believe in a state with less than 900,000 people and a permanent fund registering around $69 billion that this issue cannot be addressed and taken care of. I've attended two meetings, this being the second one, and all I find is that this is nothing more than a meeting or a gathering to upset a lot of old people. There's no reason in the world why these homes throughout the major cities in Alaska cannot be subsidized by our oil money that's sitting there accruing money invested, well invested for years and not accomplishing anything. It's not being paid out. I have not seen anything in regards to the increase. Maybe I missed it. From 100% to 140%, I have seen no delineation. Is this going to be an overnight switch, like throwing a light switch on? Or is it going to be delineated out over a period of time? Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Next, we have Rocky Butnick.
All right. Thank you very much. I would like to start out by saying that I was born here in Anchorage 67 years ago, so I'm a young 67, but I'm very honored to be here with so many people presently in Anchorage and all over the state testifying. I would also like to give you a personal viewpoint in my life. My husband is a resident here at the Pioneer Home, and I am so upset about the proposed regs. I literally came from a doctor's meeting where I currently have an adult daughter going through cancer treatment, and I lost my 92-year-old mother a week ago. And yet, I feel so strongly that these regs are not acceptable, that here I am sitting here. My husband and I, we are private payers, and I manage our budgets. I'm very aware of what our future looks like, and I can tell you that the idea of $13,000 a month is not a happy thing to look at. So with that, I think you meaning the department, and I've been a state employee, so I kind of know how it really works. But I think that the governor's office, the department, whoever, would be really smart to take a look at what happened with House Bill 96. It looked like as it went through committee substitutes, there were some changes. There was some really important dialogue and bipartisan support, as Zach Fields pointed out. It was 35 yeas, 4 nays in the House. So I think that the department would be really wise to at least suspend the process for this current proposal, and I encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Thanks, Rocky. Next, we have Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Singsus. You just heard from my wife, Rocky Plotnick. I've been in here for the last 3/4 of the year because of Parkinson's disease. I was a surgeon, a urologic surgeon. I practiced with the Indian Health Service all throughout the state. I've been to all the major places. And I had to retire because you can't be a doctor and have a tremor. Problems that you have with Parkinson's disease. But I know what things can happen with it. My father is a baker, and he had Parkinson's disease. We didn't know it at first, and I said, Dad, you're making cakes. You can't make a cake anymore. You can't do any fancy writing or anything with it. He said, yeah, I know what it is. Well, fortunately, he was living in Minnesota. I took him over to the Mayo Clinic, and they said, oh, you've got Parkinson's disease. And within making that diagnosis, from when they found out that L-DOPA came out, which is the major thing that treats Parkinson's disease. So what I'm really appealing is not for myself. I've seen this. I've seen it in my own family. I took out long-term care insurance to help through this. I think we'll make it, but I'm fortunately retired. I've made enough to sort of keep things from falling apart, but as Rocky mentioned, I'm here because I can't go back to the room. I'm running out of elbows. So I don't mind talking about it, but it's wrong to go down that path that the governor is trying to. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. We've got Barbara Allspring.
I think Barbara left.
Barbara left. Okay, so number 4 would be Jan.
Thank you very much. I was under the mistaken impression that this was going to be a legislative hearing.
I don't think I would have come if I'd known what you were doing, because my impression is that it doesn't really make any difference what you hear. Based on that, my husband and I, who were co-presidents of the Resident Council, resigned and moved out of the Pioneer Home because I have as a primary diagnosis Crohn's disease, and stress makes that remarkably worse. And we came to a decision that we couldn't tolerate the level of stress that was going to be going on here regardless of what the outcome was. So we've moved out, making a choice to spend our money rather than have you spend it. And when we are broke and ill, we'll come back. We've already put in an application. But I agree that what you're trying to do is unconscionable. And how you can sit here and pretend that you really care what we say is beyond my belief. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan. Next, we have Les up here.
Thank you. I'm Les Guerra. For 16 years, I represented the residents of the Pioneer Home in Anchorage. During that job, I came, and what I saw as a big part of my job was that I came to listen. And as I came to listen over 50 times during that period, what I learned was every single time somebody like the governor proposes something like this, he causes stress among residents, he causes anguish among residents, and he causes it to residents who no longer have the ability to work and earn income. Were I governor, I would have come here first before making that proposal. I would have listened before making a proposal. I would have asked questions before making a proposal. But what has been done has been backwards and inhumane. What the governor did was made the proposal, caused the stress, caused the anguish, and then asked for comments. That is wrong. That is plain wrong. That is not how you treat people. The governor has a big job. He represents individuals. He represents businesses that are run by individuals in the state. If this was a proposal that involved a big business, the governor would have gone to them first. But this is a proposal that involved seniors, and he did not come to them first. That is backwards governing. It is also backwards governing to say we have a big deficit, and we'll ask the people with the least ability to contribute so we can protect the people with the greatest ability and the corporations with the greatest ability. That is backwards governing. That is wrong. So in the 16 years I was a representative, I will tell you I cherish my time here. I cherish my ability to listen to the people here. They are equal residents of the state of Alaska, but they are not being treated equally. They are not being treated the same way oil companies are being treated. They're not being treated the same way big businesses are being treated. When the governor decided to allow companies to send more pollutants into Cook Inlet, he consulted with those businesses. I don't agree with that decision. But at a minimum, he should have been here first, and he should have been to Juneau first, and he should have been to Ketchikan first, and he should have been to Sitka first, and he should have been to Fairbanks first. He should have been to every single one of our Pioneer homes first to listen. He didn't do that. The remedy for that is to remove this proposal from the table. It is to scrap the proposal and do what he would do for a large business. It's to come and to listen first and to ask questions first and then to come up with policy. But if he just gave me a call, or Senator Ellis, or anybody who's ever represented a Pioneer home, what he would have been told first is, you make a proposal like this, you're going to stress people out. You're going to cause anguish. And that is inhumane. And I would ask the governor to scrap this proposal. I'll thank Representative Fields for his legislation, Representative Shaw for joining him, the many people who are sitting there in Juneau who have joined Representative Fields. But this is something that can't go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett. We are now going to go back to Palmer. Palmer, do you have anyone else who would like to testify?
Hi, this is Palmer. We don't have anybody else.
Okay, thank you. Hearing none, Hearing none, we'll move to Fairbanks. Fairbanks, do you have anyone else who would like to testify?
We have no one else in Fairbanks who is interested in testifying at this time.
Thank you. Hearing none, back to Juno. Juno, do you have anyone else who would like to testify?
We do, Clint.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for letting us testify. My name is Kevin Henderson. I'm a Juneau resident, retired from the state, worked for the state 30 years. In the last 17, we're in the Department of Health and Social Services, the last five in the commissioner's office. So I am familiar with how some of these things work. My mother-in-law is currently a resident in the Juneau Pioneers Home. I do want to give credit to the governor for putting out a strong message that something needs to be done to dial back the state's spending to make it more in line with the state's declining oil revenue. The legislature, with all due respect to the legislators that are here, the legislature has basically failed to address this issue due to partisan bickering for many years now. I was a supporter of Governor Walker's more measured and comprehensive approach to the problem. He and his administration had a much better handle on how to be thoughtful and smart about the changes that were needed. These proposed regulations are so insensitive and unjust that it tells me something about those who crafted them. It tells me at least two things. One, while some payment rate increases are probably justified, placing such a large sudden increase on the backs of fixed income seniors under the guise that they should be paying their own way or they shouldn't be here, is both disrespectful of the seniors, prejudicial against those who are no longer in the working class. It's like saying that because you're no longer an income earner, since you're no longer a worker, that you don't matter. It says that we don't care about what you have done for the state, for us. It says that if you can't support yourself, then we don't care about you. The current administration should be ashamed of perpetuating this message. And number two, it tells me that all of us, especially the current administration, need to decide what kind of state we want to live in. Personally, I want to live in a state where we don't put a value on someone based upon their ability to pay. We don't charge tuition at our public schools because we understand that it is a responsibility of our collective society to educate them and mentor them. So my question is, why are we requiring our seniors to take on such a heavy burden? We do have a fiscal gap issue, but we collectively need to find ways to solve it. It will probably require moderate increases in what we individually pay for, like Pioneer Home. It'll also needs to include a serious look at moderate across-the-board taxes, where we all chip in for the betterment of our society, and it may mean that we evaluate the PFD and its role in our society. I believe actually the PFD has become a curse to us. It may mean that we have to focus on the hard stuff, like pursuing business and development opportunities in a challenging and sensitive natural environment. I am almost done. Dealing with the fiscal gap, it should never mean we prey on the most vulnerable because it's easy. It should never mean we bully the elderly because they can't defend themselves. These proposed rate increases do just that. It's not the kind of state we want to live in, not the kind of state I want to live in. So I urge the governor and especially the leadership of the Department of Health and Social Services to go back to the drawing board and do better for all of us. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name's Ben Muse. I live here in Juneau, and my mother-in-law is in the Pioneer Home here in Juneau. And My comment is maybe sort of complementary or related somewhat to Representative Guerra's. I'm certainly concerned about the impact of the size and the speed with which this thing is being done. My comment is a little more about the procedure or the process we're going through. I'm trying to frame some sort of comment to submit on the rule, and I'm really kind of limited in the sort of in the scope of the information that's available on what's going to happen. There's very little in the way of analysis that I can find. I called the office this morning, and I was directed to the Agnew-Beck report, but that's not, and that's on your website, but it's not really it's not really about this action. It's about other things. You must have done some sort of analysis of the costs underlying the program, underlying your proposals in order to set your rates, but that's not available as far as I can see on the website. I can't see any analysis that was done on the residents' personal finances and the finances of the families that are going to be impacted. I can't find really any analysis to speak of on the state budget. Certainly an objective of making the program pay for itself, but that really was not the objective even from the start, because you guys always had several million dollars you were going to use, and you were going to throw anybody out, and you had the money to back people up, so or to help supplement their incomes. So I'm not sure if that, I mean, that I fully understand the objective. I don't see any sign that you guys analyzed alternatives to the proposed action that you've taken. For example, a more measured and different levels of trying to of subsidies that you want to provide, and different phased-in possibilities for increasing the rates over a couple years or 3 years or something. I don't see that. So I think that there's an analytical failure here that complements what the failure to just go out and talk to people before you set off on this that Representative Guerra was pointing to. So I think one thing that did encourage me was talking to the staff this morning. They said that, well, it's probably not a bad idea to get your comments in early, because we're going to try and respond to them so that that information is out there, if you have comments or questions, even before the closing of the comment period. So I would really recommend, if you have analysis, posting it on that website, getting up the internal analysis you did to set the rates, I think would be a good starting point. Absent the sort of analysis we're talking about, I think there's a real danger that the state will be making an arbitrary and possibly capricious action here, and I don't think that would be a good thing. Thank you.
Clint, I have two more people.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Nora Laughlin, and I've been in Alaska for almost 30 years. I've been retired for just over 10 years. And as I've sat here and listened to the testimony of the residents of the Pioneer Home, my anger is going has gone sky high, which is dangerous. I had heart surgery a year ago. But the last two gentlemen that spoke in particular made some good points, but I'm going to make some other points. I consider myself a temporarily able-bodied person. I'm over 70 years old, and health problems are increasing. When I retired over a decade ago, I looked at the situation here. And nobody can deny that it's very expensive to live in Alaska. Many, if not most, of my coworkers who retired moved south. I don't want to move south. I love Alaska. I want to stay here, but these proposals are way out of line. The point I want to make, though, is temporarily able-bodied puts me in a position where I can volunteer, and there is an army of retired people that I have discovered in retirement that volunteer. We volunteer everywhere, not only doing staff the polls. I do free taxes for people, an army of us do free taxes for people, the elderly and the disadvantaged in particular. I was shopping for shelters before I am now physically unable to do that, so I'm progressing toward the retirement home. It has to exist. I'll go south. If Alaska loses its retired community, it will lose there'll be a hole where all these volunteers are. Huge hole. That's one point I want to make. The other point I want to make is that I have got a visual picture in my head of the government, the legislature, and the current administration as a swollen balloon, kind of like Charlie Brown's head, on top of the little teeny body, which is the state population. And I've done just a little modicum of research on other states and what they do about governing themselves. There are states in the lower 48, and the majority of states with a small population, like Alaska's, do not have bloated, swollen heads like we do. In fact, one state in New England, all their legislature is volunteer. It's elected, but it's volunteer. There are legislatures that meet every other year instead of every year. There's ways to cut the budget besides on the back of your most vulnerable, as somebody already said. It's all been said. This is unconscionable. It's criminal. It's really criminal. It's breaking. That's all I can say. Thanks.
Clint, that's everyone here.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to go back around. Ketchikan, did you have anyone else?
No, we don't.
Okay. Hearing none. Sitka.
We don't have any others.
Okay. Hearing none in Sitka, back to the phones. Jennifer, do you have anyone on the line?
As a reminder, if anybody has any comments, you can press 1-4. And we do have from Nikki Nevers on the line. Please go ahead.
Yes, my name is Nikki Nevers, and right now I reside in Fairbanks, Alaska. But my mom is in the Sitka Pioneer Home, and my dad is up in his middle 80s. And he was actually planning on going in the Pioneer Home. My mom worked for the state for many years. In her retirement, she's been paying with her Pioneer Home money. But if this goes up, you know, through what Dunleavy wants, you know, it'll double her payment. And who can afford that? She's worked all her lives. And my young wife, she was always off working for the state. So I just wanted to say my point that this happened so fast, so quickly, that I have my own father sitting at the kitchen table in their house that they earned money with and paid with, and he's wondering if he has to sell the house that they lived in, our childhood home. It doesn't, I'm sure that the families agree with it, and it just seems like the stress of the matter is just compounding, you know. It's just more than most people can take, and I appreciate the time to talk about this, but it just about brings me to tears, what my dad is going through, and my mom is in dementia, and she takes special care, but here's my dad wondering what to do, and thank you for this comment, and thank you for the time. Thank you.
And our next comment on the phone line comes from Diana Raymond. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Diana Raymond. I am a State of Alaska employee, but I'm not providing testimony, and it's for myself. It's a testimony as a private citizen, not related to being a State of Alaska employee. My mom is a resident of the Pioneer Home. And like others have shared on the phone, she has an elder who has contributed to making our state great. I think in my opinion, I'd say the greatest state in the nation. And I think, like others have echoed over and over again, the current proposed budget is not value-based on our elders. It doesn't treat them with the dignity and respect and gratitude that we have for our elders. And it doesn't, I mean, the state of Alaska should be subsidizing the Pioneer Homes as it has since their inception. So the thought that the Pioneer Home has to be balanced on the people that are in there, our residents, our elders, is it's really troubling. And it's really, really troubling that it's caused so much discord, anger, upset, blood pressure, health problems of such a vulnerable population, of their families, of their friends. Going beyond that, I had a couple points that I wanted to make. I participated in a time when Dr. Lasley informed the people of the Anchorage Pioneer Home about their proposal. And it was during that time that I gathered quite a bit of information from what he had told us. And then afterwards, I spent some time online looking up various reports to try to get as much information as I can about what was happening. I heard earlier a gentleman talk about how the rate increases were developed, not knowing how that happened and what that looks like. From what I understood Director Lasley to say, it's not just what I understood, it's exactly what he said. They based it on nursing home care levels. So nursing home care cost a lot more than an assisted living home. Assisted living home is what the Pioneer Homes are. He also said that there's no other comparisons in the state to the Pioneer Home, which is another lie. I just recently put my mom in the Pioneer Home, so I went through all of this stuff within the past year. Providence Horizon in Anchorage has a unit that would be the same as what she has over in the Pioneer Home. And Providence Horizon's rates are $10,500 a month. The proposal that the director is making is for over $13,000 a month for my mom for that particular level of care. So there are other assisted living homes within the state that he could compare the rates, but they chose to look at nursing home levels of rates because there's so much more than what an assisted living homes in the state of Alaska pay. And the only way he could justify that was by saying that it was more like a nursing home. The fact is, it's not more like a nursing home. It's licensed as an assisted living. My mom has long-term care insurance. That insurance does not pay it as a nursing home. It pays it as a assisted living. With the cost of increases that are being proposed, those will be assisted living rates. They're not going to, insurance is going to go, oh, you know what, you decided to compare it to a nursing home, so now we'll charge it like a nursing home. It won't fly.
Hi, so, Ms. Freeman, can you close out your testimony?
Oh, okay. All right, so then do I have a limited period of time or something?
Yes, it's 2 minutes.
Oh, okay, sure. All right. I guess to echo others, I estimated that 50% of the residents will have to pay for their cost of care because they will lose all their assets in a real accelerated period of time, and that the amount of money that will be needed to provide assistance to those individuals will go way higher than $15 million because there won't be any self-pay residents left to help the cost of care at the Pioneer Home. And I think that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have no other questions on the phone line.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Hearing none. We're back to Anchorage Pioneer Home. I wanted to ask, did Barbara Lounsbury come back? No? Okay. So the last name we have on the list is Lewis.
I love McDonald's. My wife's in tier four, and her bill right now is twice what we, our monthly income is. What we're living on now is my ability to make money in the stock market occasionally and the interest rate. If you go to 13,000, you'll be out, you'll be broke in 2 years instead of four. But I appreciate the help that she's getting here, though.
Thank you, Lewis. So we have no one else signed up here in Anchorage. I'm going to just check one more time with the homes. Palmer.
This is Palmer. We don't have anybody else.
Okay. And Fairbanks?
We have no one else in Fairbanks.
Okay. And Juno?
We do not.
Okay. And Ketchikan?
We do not.
Thank you. Sitka?
We have no other. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. So that concludes this part of public testimony. We'll be closing out public testimony. This audio public testimony, you can still provide written testimony through the end of June. So through the end of June is, and if you need information on where to send those comments, we'll make sure that those are available in every home, and it's also available on the public disclosure for the public notice. And so with that, we will close out public testimony for today. The time is now 3:07. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.